Unfortunately, I regret to inform both of you that I am going to be doing this episode of Premonition of Paint tabletop quality.
What does that mean?
I'm not.
High TT, low TT, where are we at on this?
I'm saying it's, you know, just tabletop quality. I don't think that
there's
think
different
higher
tiers.
Low. Oh, I'm not sure there's different tiers.
See, you missed out on that age then. It's gross.
So here's the thing about tabletop quality. What do I mean when I say that? Because I have no idea.
Neither does
I never understood
else.
It.
Bailey told me to say that. He's my agent, and he advises me on what I should say during these bonus episodes. And so he told me to say that. I don't really know what it actually means. What should I do? Like, does that mean that I should double varnish my minis, or does it mean that I should paint my minis to a lower standard because I'm only going to see them from an arm's length away on a tabletop? I don't know.
People paint stuff that they hold it out on arm's length? That looks good.
Yeah. That's one of the judging standards.
So
what?
You're gonna learn. We're gonna learn all about this. Yeah. Welcome to the Premonition of Paint. Let's roll some intro music. So, yeah, we've been doing this for kind of a long time. Phil has been doing this for way longer than I have. I am the apprentice, and Phil is the...
Does that make me?
Plagueis. That makes him the Darth Plagueis.
The much older apprentice is what that
means.
Yeah,
have you heard the story of Master Phil Dupin? He was able to make his miniatures come alive color and hue.
And yet now I spend all my time trying to desaturate and make them all grim and gray.
It's quite the opposite.
Color thing. I'm just trying to make them look bad on purpose now.
Phil's having a brown period. That's not what you think. It's whenever all your miniatures turn. All the miniatures have the same. You just mix 50-50 brown and whatever color you're trying to paint.
Through that phase where you remember that what you really liked was when the miniatures didn't look that great in the magazines and they were they were really cool.
I love that.
I'm going back to that. And
my ego needs that era.
Well, you'd be amazed.
when you first started out, how did you compare whether something that you painted was good or not?
I didn't. I was by myself. I was in a farmhouse in Iowa. We rented this farmhouse and I was alone. I was 15 years old. I couldn't drive anywhere. There were no nerd stores. I was in the middle of nowhere.
And the crop circles, right? I mean, the crop circles for sure.
There was no internet. I'm old.
But the crop circles though.
There were the crop circles. That's significant.
Yeah, the crop circles.
We said we wouldn't talk about that. But the
the crop circles.
God damn it, Brad.
But the crop circles.
But no, it was. I didn't have anything. My entire means of comparing my work to anything to figure out if I was any good was the old. If you got a box of Citadel paints, which I didn't because I was broke.
The pictures are in the box, right?
Well, a lot of times they'd have a pamphlet, and we should come back to that later because that's cool. But all I had was the game books. That was it. And the game books would have a 4 or 5 color page section in the middle of them because the whole book was in black and white. This stuff now where all the game books are in glossy hardback and everything. Nobody had money for that shit back then.
No, for real.
You were lucky if it wasn't Xeroxed, but either way.
Those things
computer
were hardly...
paper and shit.
No, yeah, I mean, exactly. Wargaming, I don't claim to be an expert on wargaming now, but I was fucking into it back then. And seriously, most of it was you'd get a zine of rules,
mm-hmm.
and that's right. That was it. That was your game.
I mean, you're if
fuck with that though.
You go to a wargaming
convention. It was pretty dope.
But they hand you rules printed on a, you know, 8.5 by 11 on their computer, on their, their laser jet.
Maybe it's laminated if they went fancy.
Oh, if they've been running the game more than 3 years, they laminate it. But otherwise, otherwise, no. You get the sheet from last year with the shawarma stain on it.
Yeah, totally.
And
that's the one that's got the magic.
Yeah, it does. That's true. And you're moving around little paper cardboard, if you're lucky, chits on a board. Now, if you bring an army to a convention, like if you're going to a games day or something, and you're going to bring your freshly painted army of what have you, Warhammer, you know, War Machine, or I don't know, name a game, Malifaux,
right?
Warlord.
I
could go on, but I choose not to.
Look, that was good.
Reaper had a miniature game. We'll do that in a future episode, probably.
Okay.
Yeah, Reaper Minis used to.
They had a few
rules.
Mm-hmm. They had Warlord. Oh my God, we can't do this. We can't do it.
It's tangent. Yeah. Tighten it up. Tight butthole. Tight butthole.
Tight.
All right, here's what we're doing.
Tight butthole voice.
Tight butthole voice. Tighten up those buttholes. So here's my question. You bring your freshly painted minis to a convention with a bunch of other people, and you start comparing. You know, like you may, if you paint your minis in a farmhouse in Iowa, you might not know how you stack up with the average war gamer painter.
And I didn't for a long, long time.
Well, me neither. I had the same, you know, I figured out early on that whenever you paint an Eldar Guardian, an Uthwe Eldar Guardian, that maybe priming them black and painting the heads in yellow gloss.
Bright yellow.
Yeah. Was maybe not the best way to make them stand out on the tabletop.
It didn't end great. Yeah.
Mm. I mean, did they stand out though?
Oh, well, they stood out. I could count them by the number of freaking, you know, bright pus-colored helmets I could see.
And you will know them by the trail of heads?
Oh, and you will. And I called them Wormwood, but it's nice. Just this weird, like, they look so bad. I kept a whole bunch of them because I want to remind myself, like, hey, this is where I started. I thought this was a good idea.
I wish so much that I'd kept my old ones. They were most of them just fell apart because I redid them so many times.
It sounds to me like you stripped a bunch of them and repainted them. So that's a good move.
I lost a bunch. I gave a bunch away.
Well, this was the Great Cretaceous, right?
Things happen. Paleontology is not the advances.
Early Triassic, yeah.
We've come a long way in terms of specimen preservation. I mean, that's all I'm
saying. Pewter dating is still in its early infancy, I would assume.
Yep.
But that's like you bring your army to a tournament. You want to compete against these other armies, and so while they're on the table, you're comparing the paint jobs. There are usually also painting competitions. If you want to hear more about those, go to our last episode. Actually, the one before that, even, we talked about painting competitions of Premonition of Paint. But this episode is kind of going to be about that label that a lot of people and some of us use it ourselves to describe our miniature painting style. The label is tabletop quality.
Oof.
I got called, someone at the hobby shop told me that a thing that I did, a miniature, which is fine. They said it was like above tabletop quality. And I didn't know what that meant.
You got the high TT. That's what high TT is?
See, I don't know what that meant. So
you got the high TT.
No. They said above tabletop quality, not high.
Oh, never mind. You got bumped
above.
Up.
Ooh,
that's competition grade, son. That might be display quality.
That's what they mean when they say.
It is on display there.
Oh, it's on display there. That means it's display quality. Okay, so here's our levels. Tabletop quality, display quality, competition grade. Those are the three tiers that are meaningless. They mean nothing. Those are worthless.
It's pointless.
Why? I don't. This is so weird. Like,
okay, so here's the thing. I was saying before. I grew up in a vacuum as far as the nerd world went. I thought there
in
were
Hoover,
like
Hoover, Iowa.
No, I was actually. I don't think Hoover was that far from me at the time. I was in a little tiny town called Creston.
50-50, Creston and Hoover. Yep.
My mom was teaching there. Anyway, I learned how to paint in the middle of I don't even remember whatever. It doesn't matter how I found the game. I had to go to like another town to get the game, and then I was like the only person that had it, and nobody else wanted to play it. So like, this has how many books? And I was just like,
look, it's got all the dudes. It's gonna be awesome. You know,
these dudes have giant guns. So you don't understand. There's the Chaos Space Marines, and they've been corrupted by the forces of evil.
Yeah,
but
they're
still good at heart. But they're actually mutated, and they look like really cool guys. These guys play guitars.
Oh man, I missed it, dude. I missed the Noise Marines.
Noise Marines
were the shit.
Mm-hmm. Knew what's going on.
Joel, you missed out so much. I'm not trying to derail, but like, man, that fucking era when they had a sense of humor was fucking magical.
Like,
they seem to have a sense of humor, but it's only in their specific videos. They do
inside jokes, right. Man. Sorry, yeah. Phil, you're talking about living on the moon and doing wargaming. Yeah.
Well, and not doing wargaming. And that was actually kind of the thing was like, I had just kind of resigned myself to like, well, I mean, the reason I got into this in the first place was because at school, some kid had like his older brother's copy of Rogue Trader. Right.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And so I saw that kick ass fucking artwork from back then. And like Joel's seen the Realm of Chaos books. And it's all the same art guys, right? So you've got John Blanche all over the place. You've got, you know, fucking all those. My memory is so garbage right now. I'm a professional artist and I can't remember the names of some of my primary influences. Wayne England, fucking, oh my God, I'm so mad. I'm not, whatever. It's not important. The thing is, I fell in love with the imagery, right? And as soon as I realized that it was possible to like pull that off the page and have it, I was just like, you can do this. And then you could like hang out with these theoretical friends that you now have because of how cool these are.
Wait.
You might find it difficult to believe, but I was not a really socially popular person.
No, that's impossible. So you're saying that you saw this art and you thought, you know what might be cool? What if I could take the artwork that I'm seeing and like have a piece of that myself?
Oh, it wasn't even a what if. That was that was the sell of the game. I was looking at this book that was full of cool shit that I was like, this looks like album art. Like, this is awesome.
You and I started exactly the same way. And maybe we ran into the first hurdle the same way. I had that thought, and then I realized, wait, what if my skills aren't up to the task? Like, what if I physically can't make this look like the cool stuff that I see?
Oh, that was never a question in my mind. I had absolutely no fucking idea how that was going to happen.
You were just full of piss and vinegar, and you're just going to go out there, and if you have to in the middle of Iowa, you're going to use ground up corn and motor oil to paint these minis, and they're going to look fine.
They didn't.
Tabletop quality, though.
Low TT, I think, is what we're...
No.
Real low TT.
Is... Like tabletop quality, what people jokingly do, and they're like, "Oh, your fuck up is now weathering." Is it in that field?
It is a little bit. And that's here's the thing. We're kind of lagging here.
Phil's stories honestly are going on for hours, and I can't keep track of what we're talking about.
It breaks down like this, where we keep getting stuck in this whole, like, you know, we grew up in a vacuum thing, and we did. Brandon and I started painting. I started painting earlier than he did, but I think we started painting around the same time in our lives or whatever.
Probably true. Like late middle school kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So eventually cometh the internet, and that's where this shit happens, is because, like, first off, you know, we'd all moved off to wherever we were. I found gamer nerds in college. I realized other people did this, whatever. Right. But this whole tabletop idea, this came from the sudden ability of everybody to put up pictures of their miniatures on the internet. And for those of us that aren't old as shit, that wasn't really that easy to do in the beginning. Like, first off, you had to have a camera. Yeah. You had to have a digital camera. You had to have like a decent ability to take a photo if you didn't want to get laughed off of something. You had to find a site that would host photos, which were huge files back then.
But your alternative was you find a scanner or a copy machine, which is going to be black and white, and find a way to get that digitized, get a physical photo digitized. And these are not good options.
Also a giant pain in the ass. Yeah. Bad transfer, whatever.
Sounds insane.
it was really, really hard just to get a picture of something you did on the, I remember the first time I was able to post a photo of one of my models on a web forum. And I was just like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever. You could get immediate feedback. You didn't have to go somewhere to find somebody that painted better than you to tell you how you fucked up.
Yeah, like, but you kind of already have that, right? So you get immediate feedback, but it's still the internet. So your feedback is going to be fairly shitty. And honestly, from what I saw from those early paint jobs that were fantastic, were full of idiots in the forum threads just saying terrible things about the work that I thought was super cool. Like, I'm looking at this stuff and I'm thinking, man, I could never paint like that. Like, I could never, dry brush highlights.
There was one in particular.
Because dry brushing was beyond me at that point. I did not understand it. I as far as I could tell, it was magic.
I want to come back to the dry brushing. This is important. This is part
of
the package.
I thought it was the coolest thing, and I still kind of do. But
we're coming back to this, I promise. All right. So what we're talking about here is the advent of being able to share images of your work, right? Which, of course, immediately went from, this is so cool, we can talk to each other about what we've done, to, you suck, and here's why. And
the internet. It was evil from the beginning, people. The internet didn't become evil once a certain number of users joined it. The internet was always, at its core, an evil entity, which grew just more powerful over time.
Now, it's important to note at this point that there... First off, like, most forums didn't have the ability to directly natively host images when you, like, you could join like a big company's game forum, and you couldn't post. I remember when I joined the Privateer forum, which was the first place that I shared pictures. It was incredibly supportive, super helpful. I'm so lucky that was the first place that I started doing that, because I had no idea what it was like out there. Specifically by out there, I mean Cool Mini or not.
Cool Mini or not was the premier website to get photos on there. It actually hosted photos.
It hosted but photos. It was the only one when it was doing it in the beginning. Anyway,
it was the only mini specific one that was doing it. Yes. This was basically a forum where you post a miniature.
Did Hot or Not exist before Cool Mini or Not?
I was going to say, it just sounds like Hot or Not.
It's Hot or Not, and I can't decide which one's more evil, like which one shaped the other.
Which one's more evil? Wait a minute. Hot or Not is obviously more evil. Yes, Joel is right. That's the one.
Yeah. You know how awesome Facebook is for mini painting? Anyway.
Zero. So let's see. It's negative. It's fucking negative. That's what it is. So cool mini or not, you post your mini, the mini shows up, people
and
comment
then the internet
on it
talks shit on you.
Tell you whether it is cool or not. And what mini users found.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to point out the fact that the words tabletop quality are used on a regular basis in Cool Mini or Not. They are still used.
They came from there. That's where that started.
Wait, was it not like one of those things where you literally just vote on it?
You
can write comments
and that's the
radio
thing.
Buttons and then
because exactly what we were talking about on the Versus episode, where you're like, all right, look, we need a standard. We need something where we can be, of course, this is all subjective, but ultimately we need kind of a ballpark of being able to say, look, this is your black belt level, you know?
Yeah.
And of course, everyone thinks that they're the authority that gets to dictate that. So it becomes immediately fucking worthless.
The first person to define it is their true authority.
Usually everybody on that board is basically the best painter at their local nerd store and fuck off wherever. So they know what's up, you know? Yeah. So anyway, the point is that they went from, okay, we need to be able to standardize this somehow, to everybody just throwing out arbitrary shit, and thus begat the title, Tabletop Standard, where you wouldn't be embarrassed to have this. Like, this is a thing that you put effort into and it looks nice. Nobody's going to laugh at you for showing up to play a game, which is a fucking ridiculous idea to begin with. And then
nerds laughing at each other for playing Warhammer.
With poorly painted miniatures. And so that
half the fucking dudes don't even fucking.
Yeah, they don't shower, let alone fucking
right.
That's the thing. Like if I play Warhammer against an opponent who showered in the past 3 days, I feel so lucky. If I play Warhammer against an opponent who painted their minis, it's because I bribed them before the game.
Yeah, it's like, are we at games day? This is something I've only seen in magazines. Like, this is spectacular.
I'm playing the Grey Knights today. They are literally gray because that is the color of the minis when they come out of the box. Any questions?
Yep.
I have a question. Like, how? Well, just freaking prime them, please. Like, I don't know.
Why did you buy this? But anyway.
They just want to play this. So this is the
That's
thing.
A whole
so
other you, thing.
But this is kind of related, though. Let's say, so you got different types. This is one of those conglomeration hobbies. People build miniatures because they want to play miniature war games. People build miniatures because they want to paint miniatures. There is a lot of overlap. In fact, many people who want to play mini war games also want to paint their army. But tabletop quality is kind of like for me, at the local game store in person, people used tabletop quality as an excuse. They would say, I painted my miniatures. I can do better, but I only targeted tabletop quality. And you know, you ask them what that means. They're like, I don't know, you know, well, whatever. Tabletop quality basically means I painted this miniature to the lowest standard that I was comfortable with in some way.
It can.
And it makes me sad. Like, it made me sad to hear that. Like, now I can look back on that and say they were not proud of what they brought to the game store. Like, they showed up and they looked at everybody else's minis and they were thinking, man, like, I feel bad.
I want to circle back to this because,
like,
my problem is,
were we making them feel bad? Like, I don't want to be the kind of community that shames someone for their painting ability. But
and
yeah,
that's,
we can.
That's what I want to say specifically here, because that was kind of CMON. Yeah. I might have a different perspective on this from some people. I really was operating kind of on my own at this point. I didn't have a community. Yeah. I didn't have like a play group or whatever. At this point, I was pretty much already just painting, and I wasn't a competition painter. I didn't want to be a competition painter. I just wanted to get better because I like it. So
I'm saying this, that CMON, as you said, CMON just sprayed out of the internet and just covered every surface and got everywhere.
But it started,
communities started using the same terminology.
I do believe that really CMON started as a good thing, because it had to be. It was the thing. It had to be a positive, right? Yep. But once it started getting really stratified, which took no time at all, you know, people, it was obvious. There's a wide range of skills there. Some were really, really good. Some were really, really bad. Some were kind of almost really good. And those guys were dicks. So those guys are the ones that are standing there the whole time. They're not actually getting any better, but they're defining what's going on, because all the guys that are really good
painters,
all the guys that are really good are too busy doing it while these guys are staying on the board and talking shit on everybody else's stuff.
You're still describing Dunning-Kruger. It's
so many things happening now.
And the way that they did that, the way that they did that was by weaponizing the categorization of people's work, where originally tabletop standard was meant to be an encouragement, where they were saying, hey man, you've gotten to the point where, you know, if you had 20 of these guys standing next to each other on a table, they're probably going to look pretty good, and it would probably look okay in a magazine shoot. Way to go, keep going.
Be proud of what you put on the table, because honestly, like, when you paint your minis, you want them to look like what you expect them to look like. Tabletop standard minis that don't have highlights, maybe don't have that much shading, they look fine on a table. You know,
it started out as a positive, and then it started getting weaponized, where tabletop quality meant you're not as good as me yet, and that's not okay. And that's how it gets used now. Like, if somebody throws out tabletop quality, they're not patting you on the back, man. They're using the CMON snark and just being that's like, and like low TT is like, get the fuck out of my face. You know, like high TT is like, you're almost good enough to maybe be on the same stage as me. I know I haven't painted in 30 years, but you're almost up to my level. It's crazy.
The low and high is very rare. In my experience, for multiple,
I haven't gone on CMON intentionally 20 years.
Oh, so. I fucking, let me, disclaimer, I hate Cool Mini or Not. It's I consider bad. That to be one of the worst places you could ever go it's as a bad. Mini painter. Never go there. In reality, you know, in, I'm talking about my experiences with actual gaming groups. And see, what I see yeah, okay. is that the people who usually use the term tabletop quality are people who are describing their own work. This is okay. different. So you're okay. talking about the origins. The origins were people made up the term tabletop quality to put others down. And I believe that that is absolutely true. The problem is when that phrase exited the internet, people started to sort of internalize this concept that, oh, no, maybe I'm not good enough to have a mini on display at my local store.
And that's a fucking,
and that's a big problem. That's going to discourage people from trying to paint. More when people paint miniatures, they have this thought in their head. They think, "Well, I'm going to paint these minis up to, I'm going to paint them up to tabletop quality." And when they say that to themselves, they are telling themselves, "I'm not going to try that hard on these. You know, like I'm gonna do the bare minimum. I just want to get some color.
That is one way to look at it
on the mini."
That's one way to look at it.
I've never had that thought though.
I know you've never had that thought.
But when you have to play games,
there are different strategies.
That's what it is. Because you don't play games.
Yep. And I haven't played games in ages. I've been painting minis for 25 years. I played games for maybe the first five.
But this is important because tabletop quality refers to the
specifically the game. It is the game standard.
Right. It is whenever you are rolling out 50 of the same guy.
Exactly. If you've got 300 guys on a table, they don't need to have excruciating levels of edge highlighting and everything. The whole light, there are different strategies for getting miniatures painted, whether you're doing batch painting, army level painting, individuals, units, dioramas, whatever. Like there's different strategies that are employed for all of these different quantities of models.
And if you're just describe strategies.
Dudes, yeah. Know? If you're getting 100 dudes painted, you're not going to sit there and do edge highlighting and irises and pupils and all that. You will never, ever, ever, ever finish this project. You cannot live long enough to do this.
I've seen like stuff online though from really crazy dudes that do like that. I've seen them play games with like their insanely painted minis.
So have you looked real close at how many of those same minis you see in those shots?
No. I know what Joel is talking about. I have seen those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Joel's right about
that. I'm not going to say it can't be done.
But okay. Check this out.
I am going to say you're not going to do it.
Phil, that's their tabletop quality. And that's why that's a meaningless term. That term is meaningless.
Look,
that
you know
it
I
means
agree with
whatever
you.
It means whatever you want it to mean.
Yeah,
which means it means nothing.
You like, know I agree with you
because you described a bunch of strategies before that would help out with army level painting. If you're painting at 300 guys, you need to have the right strategies in place that allow you to reach a
to
high
get
quality.
Get the job done. Just
and
to,
the high
just
quality
to look nice.
is the high quality is based on your own skills. But if you have a high level of painting skill already. You can develop strategies which allow you to make all 300 of those guys look as good as one individual guy by doing things strategically. You paint all of one color, all of one other color. You know, you can knock out batches of 10 to 20.
Until,
like all of these things are legitimate techniques.
Until I saw, God damn it, this is just going to turn into the Marco Frissoni fan podcast. But I saw Marco Frissoni knocking out units of 10 dudes in 2 hours. Until I saw that happen, did not think that was actually possible.
His strategy was, imagine if he spent four hours or six hours, or ten hours.
This weekend is fucking ridiculous. But either way, I can't fucking believe that dude. He's an alien as far as I'm concerned. He's a magical unicorn alien, and I love him. But. Huh. I might have gone too far there. We'll loop back. The thing is that if you've got a whole bunch of dudes on a board, you literally need three colors on them, and that's it. And they don't need to be great. They just need to be on there. It's okay. If you're painting to, you know, what you would consider a display standard, what somebody else considers a display standard, who gives a shit?
Did you say like display standard?
That's the next level up, baby.
Because I display the miniatures I play with on the tabletop. Is that
which is fine?
Am I doing this wrong?
No, absolutely not. That's what is, all of these categories are ridiculous.
It's almost like these are all meaningless categories.
The
advice that Joel got though was that his minis were painted to a higher than tabletop standard.
Which presumably meant that that person thought Joel was good enough to that was the appropriate response. But that person clearly thought that your stuff was worthy of not being sullied by the hands of man on a tabletop and instead should be displayed on a shelf where it belongs.
Which doesn't make sense because then in my mind, I'm like, oh, this is tabletop. So I guess this means that if I showed up to a game, people would be like, oh, cool, nice mini. You're pretty bad at this game, though.
Yep.
Oh, God. I've never won a game.
I've never won a game either. I've won games of X-Wing, but that's like a whole different beast.
I'm the first one that gets the game because I'm the nerd. You know, I want to play with the toys.
Somebody has to be the nerd.
And then I teach one of my friends how to play, and I beat him that time. And then I need to savor that moment because that is the only time that is ever going to happen.
Dude, all three of us are that guy. Okay, wonderful. There's a personality type.
No one's going to understand this, but Joe, our buddy at Hangar 18, he's taught me how to play Warhammer, Spire, all this shit. Right. Yeah. And I'll beat him, and then we'll play again. We'll lose every fucking time.
Every time. Mm-hmm.
Every fucking goddamn time. But it's useless. Fun, though.
I literally played those games and taught my friends how to play just to have somebody else to make stuff with. Like, I'm like, the game playing was completely secondary. I just want to build more things. Like, will you build with me? Because that's what I actually want to do. You know.
And also, in-person paint parties are super fun.
Oh, God.
And
I recommend
we were supposed to have one right now.
Not during COVID. Do not do them during COVID.
We can
wait until COVID is over. A couple years, maybe.
We do that on the
on the virtual in person paint parties. Yeah. But it's not the same,
but it's still trying.
But what's super fun is when you go to one of these, you know, when you log into a stream and you can see what everybody else is painting and you can see the different levels of experience and what the techniques that people are different, people are
and like
different
actually techniques that watch people are them using. Do it.
And you know, maybe someone will say, if you have the experiences that I have had throughout my undying life and patronage to the miniature, the dark arts of miniature painting, someone may say to you, I am not spending too much time on this. I'm only painting it to a tabletop standard. And it makes me sad. And usually
why
what they're doing,
I've never actually heard anybody say, I understand the scenario you're talking about, but I've never heard anybody actually say that. What are you saying, Joel?
Sorry. I was just saying, like, how would you say that? Why not just be like, I'm just going to half-ass it?
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's easier to say.
You're saying,
I'm going to do it badly. I'm going to do this badly.
At this point, you're talking.
Own it.
Gamers and painters overlap, but they're not the same. The gamers and painters are not the same thing. My heart is probably more in gaming than, despite the fact I haven't played in 20 years, than the average gamer's heart is in painting. You've seen it. Those dudes show up with like dudes blue tack together because they want to be able to weapon swap. You know, they're not trying to paint their shit. They don't care. They're not there to paint minis. They're there to play a game, which is cool. That's their toy. They get to do it that way.
Tabletop quality?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This podcast?
God. Oh, no.
No. This podcast?
We're high TT around here.
Okay. Oh, no. We're way over tabletop.
Fancy mics, that's all.
This is a nice contest. We are contest quality, easily. This is a contest. This is a Golden Demon quality podcast.
And then Kenev is going to post, and he's not even going to say anything. He just shows up and drops a photo and leaves for a year. And nobody says shit because he's the best. Fuck.
Hey, good thing it's a podcast.
Yeah, right?
Hey. In your face. Go make a podcast.
Russia still doesn't have podcasts. I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Do they now?
I don't know.
I don't think they do, dog.
I assume they do.
They got jeans.
Yeah. Do have jeans.
Orcs have jeans.
Yeah, speaking of orcs, jeans, you know what's really interesting is that...
What's in the... inside the jeans.
Inside the orc jeans. And I'm talking about dry brushing. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, I was talking about orc dicks.
Nope, don't. Yeah, we did that already, actually. Orc dicks, we covered.
Is that what the army painter is calling their brushes that they ripped off of?
Orc dicks?
Orc dicks, yep. There was a misprint on a lot of the orc dip bottles, and they accidentally said orc dip.
It's dick stain!
It's dick stain, actually. It's dick stain.
Oh, God, Phil, damn it.
Dick stain?
We're talking about something totally different.
Farther. That's fantastic.
You don't. But if you people who did the dip method would specifically say, I'm doing this tabletop quality, so I'm using the dip method. I have many examples of this.
That was peak give no fucks. Like, it's just going to look okay on the tabletop. Like,
epitome
of that philosophy.
That's the spirit behind tabletop quality. That's like I show up to work in a bathrobe. That's tabletop quality.
Yeah, but even the guys, I don't like that. But even the guys that do that, still like three or four models out of that army, they probably really put their all into and you know, their character models, their sergeants of their units, their leaders, whatever the tanks, maybe. I don't know. I've never painted more than like one squad for an army in my life. Yeah. I don't know.
I've painted entire armies, and I got to tell you that like there are ways to do it that they look pretty good.
I believe you.
One of my favorite things to do in an assembly line is just to set up the, you know, multiple stages of dry brushing. And I have heard people, I keep on going back to this because this is really, I have feelings in this area. I have seen people disparage painted models because they are dry brushed.
Absolutely. That was a thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
We mentioned this before.
Don't talk to me with that bullshit.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Joel's entire career is dry brushing.
That's all I know, bitch.
Joel brushes the butter on his toast in the morning. Actually, that's how you're supposed to do toast.
Here's the thing. We gotta pump the brakes here real quick because this needs the background. Okay. And this comes back to what I was saying right at the beginning. When you get like a Citadel paint box, right? Which again, I got one of in my entire life, but here's the one I got. Okay. You pull it out. I got a box of the Citadel inks, which was fucking insane. Like that was the next level shit. That was like, I wasn't ready for this
stuff. Well, Citadel inks. Okay.
This was what you used to shade with. This is what makes it look like the one in the magazine right there.
Right.
You want to know what it actually made it look like? Anyway.
Was that like getting the power glove?
Dude, power glove. Your nerd store only had one of these. Ever.
Dude,
it was dusty.
Citadel inks. And you had to save up to buy it because the inks are very expensive.
They weren't that much. They were like $25 in.
Yeah, but
the
I
90s.
Didn't have $30. Yes,
I didn't
for
either.
Me,
it was that or you had toys. It was one or the other.
But regardless, like those inks in particular, black Citadel black ink, chestnut ink, flesh wash,
those inks still hold up. Chestnut ink.
They still hold up today. They were very good inks, and
I've still got some.
You know, even knowing that they were good inks, like people misuse them a lot.
Oh yeah, I did. All of them, all
me
forever.
Too. Oh,
really? Until like last week, I was misusing those. But
I still am.
Anyway, here's the thing: inside of the paint boxes. I'm assuming it was in the other ones too, but at least in the expert paint set, which you knew was the expert paint set because it was full of inks and it had a golden demon on the box.
Well, they're also labeled expert paint set.
It was like, you're getting, this is it. This is the golden demon box. You're going, buddy. Make it happen.
Congratulations.
Anyway.
Welcome. This is your invite to the golden demon. Make sure that you bring,
it was like a Wonka bar. Anyway.
Bring your dipped orc.
And not only are all of these amazing, the ink pots that look different from the paint pots, so you know they're the shit, you know, you open that up. This is the shit that I've heard John Blanche talk about in his, you know, articles and my Xeroxed copies of fucking, you know, Citadel Journal or whatever. Like the side zines were amazing. You missed out on that too, Joel. Anyway,
that sounds dope.
It also, they were great. I'll get you some. Inside there was like a little like leaflet, right? Because the game books didn't have how to paint sections in them. They had finished photos of like the heavy metal team shit, which you could not do. You know, it was like Mike McVeigh made this diorama. You know, you're like, I don't even have the model this is. Like he cut apart this hunk of pewter to do this. Are you kidding me? Anyway, the
$70 hunk of pewter. Well, that's an exaggeration, of course. They were probably like 40.
They were like 10. Anyway, seriously,
we had different lives, Phil.
It's madness. Anyway, you open it up and there's the pamphlet. The pamphlet has step-by-step guides in that shit. You open it up and one of the heavy metal guys shows you everything he did to make this thing, which I get like
cheat codes.
You guys grew up with you know, you could find this anywhere on the YouTube in 5 seconds. But like back then I was like, holy shit, this is it. This is the map. It told you, you know, use this ink on the skin, use this. And it told me a magical thing.
It's still, if you get all of the
paint, if you get your worst brush and you put a whole bunch of paint on it, rub it all off, and then just flick it over this guy's hair and over this guy's chainmail, it just looks the shit.
Yeah, it never did.
My head, no, it did. My head exploded. I was like, oh my God, this looks just like the thing in the mod. This is it. I'm going to Golden Demon. It was an immediate confidence booster. I was just like, holy shit, this thing I couldn't do by slathering paint all over the place. I can suddenly this way.
We had completely different experiences with these tutorials.
Look, it didn't actually look good.
This is so weird.
It didn't actually look good, but it looks so much better than the garbage I was doing.
You know, I would take a look at these at this tutorial, and I would try my hardest to follow it to the letter. But the problem was I just didn't have the brush control or the dilution skill. You know, I didn't know that I was supposed to dilute these inks, because
I absolutely was not talking about dilution.
You know, the tutorials never actually said anything about, dilute the ink 1-to-1 because you're expected to know. Yeah. There is an expectation of skill in the tutorials. And so I was so new that I never understood that you're supposed to do things outside of the... It's like if you're a fan of the Great British Baking Show, which I'm supposed to plug because of a side deal that I have with Noel Fielding specifically. By the way, Noel Fielding and Tony Hawk, please contact us if possible.
Oh, shit. Is that Tony Hawk?
Nope, it's not. That's Noel Fielding. You have them switched. You flipped the two photos.
Switch flipped them.
Is that the guy that
you swip flitched them? Yeah.
Is that the guy talking about snooker?
No. This is the guy who plays who's the goth in IT Crowd. But what I'm talking about is
I know that. Okay.
If you don't have the basic skills to follow the tutorials are not going to help you. And so your tabletop quality is going to be really weird, and you're going to bring those minis to your store, and you're going to be like, hey, this is real weird looking. But of course, back then, at least from my experience, everybody had weird looking minis. So
yeah, they were all terrible.
But it was before we started judging ourselves. You know, we all started judging ourselves compared to what everybody else was doing.
You were just so stoked that everybody else's shit had some paint on it. You were like, all right, this is going to start looking good, man. Now.
I just think that at some point, and maybe it was when Cool Mini or Not came about, we all started comparing our shit to everybody else's.
It was a big part of it. It really was. Like that was a horrible thing that happened. But anyway,
the first time I ever thought that I was good at painting was whenever I figured out how to dry brush.
Yeah, me too.
Like I hit the ink on I would do a black ink, do a gray base, do a dark gray base, black ink. Then I would dry brush several layers of gray over top of something. It would look freaking good.
It looks like, fucking great.
And I still love the way that looks because it almost has like, you know, if you very roughly dry brush on a mini, it's got a comic book look to it.
Yeah, it catches. You know? No matter what, it's going to catch the raised details. That's what it does. That's what it's for. You know,
that's fucking dope.
The overall quality of the finish is determined by the softness of the bristles, how much paint you removed, what the consistency of the paint was, blah, 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 blah. The main thing is that it's just catching the edges and it's looking good. It brings out the details.
If you're not familiar with the dry brushing technique, effectively, you are going to want to put some paint on your palette. Do not dilute this paint.
No.
Load up your brush with that paint. And then... This is going to sound counterintuitive, but once you load up your brush with the paint, you're going to wipe it off on a paper towel or on the side of your palette until no more paint comes off that brush.
Mm-hmm. I even tested on my hand.
That was the thing when I was first starting out, I didn't understand that you were supposed to wipe your brush quite so much until no paint comes off, but that works the best. And then you very lightly drag your brush across the raised surfaces of a model. There was raised surfaces, pick up whatever color you loaded your brush with in step one. But it is very important for some advanced techniques, like some types of highlighting use a dry brushing or a dry brushing variant. You know, these are the top levels of painting.
This is where what you're talking about, where the disparagement starts, is because it didn't for a long time. And it's very, it's not I think it much still did. Now.
I think it always has. Some of the things that we do when we drag a brush sideways across an edge, in my opinion, is a close enough relative to dry brushing we should still consider it to be the same technique. Because with dry brushing, all you're doing is you're doing that on a much larger, more specular scale.
I'm going to fight you on that one. But it's because
what do you think the difference is?
The difference is that when you're dry brushing, you are already the term dry doesn't just refer to the fact that your brush is dry. It's that the little bits of paint that are left in it are dry already. What for the longest time was considered the undesirable effect of dry brushing was that you're literally just smashing dried pigment. It's a lot like the application of powdered pigments. And it's just more primitive because we didn't fucking have them, but it's just smashing dry paint into the model. And you're doing it so fast over and over again that it's sticking to raised surfaces. I think it looks cool, but for the longest time, that chalkiness, that grain that gets delivered sometimes, even smashed across the surface if you didn't wipe off quite enough, that's considered the undesirable aspect of dry brushing and the telltale marks of this.
The streaks, right?
Yeah.
Streakless dry brushing would be ideal. I actually think that dry brushing still requires wet paint. But that could also just be a more technical discussion.
That is overbrushing, and it is different.
No, it's not actually. So if you allow paint to dry on a brush, that paint will not transfer to the model. Incorrect. And I say that because if you allow paint to dry on a brush, that paint will not transfer. I believe that dry brushing actually is using wet paint.
With the Series D, it's very important to keep your paint wet.
It's true, and this is
I don't different. Use any dry pigments for okay.
But the thing is, when you're doing dry brushing,
Artist Opus is important, and we need to talk about them specifically when it's time to talk about them specifically because it is different and awesome.
Because pigments accomplish a similar task as dry brushing, but once that paint, when you're applying a pigment,
okay, when it's completely dry, you're right. It's been polymerized. It can't.
Right, I'm saying
I get what you're saying, but
yeah,
but it's functionally pretty much dry already. That's that's the thing. You're leaving so little behind, and it's not
that,
only
that's what it is. It's you're leaving so little behind.
Yep.
That if you have just a little bit too much in your brush, it's going to streak, and those streaks are going to be a shoo-in for critics to say, well, it looks pretty good, but your highlighting was done.
I can tell you dry brushed it.
And I consider dry brushing to be an inferior technique. I use ion interference cascade spray whenever I use my eyeballs to shoot photons directly through the paint.
The snobbery over this technique does come from a realistic place because here's the thing. Miniature painting, especially once it became possible to start sharing our images with each other, the skill level and the expectation of skill level shot through the fucking roof. Like, seriously, if you look at the models that I idolized growing up, the stuff that I was just like, I will never be able to do this. And the stuff that I'll still look at now and be like, that was pretty fucking cool. If you go back and look at the painted models in Rogue Trader right now, your little brother can do better than that. these were like the fucking gods of our business, like the best of the best. They were in the book, But anyway,
they were in the book. They are the gold standard. Right?
All of a sudden the internet happens and everybody just starts passing the information around. The democratization of the information did happen. The gatekeeping did happen. It was all happening at the same time. But everybody got better. And as it kept getting better, then all of a sudden that's where you get that snobbery that you're talking about, which I always hated. Mm. I always hated it because dry brushing was always a really versatile technique. You could always use it for your quick main body highlights. It's still the best fucking thing you can do for hair or fur or chainmail. I swear to God, if I watch one more fancy pants painter sit there and pick out every strand of hair with multiple layer highlights, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
You know what's more impressive than that?
Nonsense.
It's simulating picking out every strand of hair using strategic highlights.
Yeah.
That is fun.
It's way cooler. And if you dry brush to get a map of that and then pick out the stuff where the paint really sticks with the nice smooth highlights, that's beautiful. Oh, then you get texture.
I've used very light dry brushes as like top level highlights on that kind of stuff, and it actually works really well.
I use dry brushing to get maps on everything all the time. It's a great technique.
That's another great idea. If you want to pick out the details, dry brushing is a good pre-technique, but I'm saying
it
is a part of, it should be a part of your toolbox, regardless of whether you consider your paint jobs to be tabletop quality or, you know, display quality or contest quality or, you know, God quality or what have you.
When we've been talking about this, we've been talking about our experiences with that. And it's pretty clear that, you know, we both experienced dry brushing being discussed as a negative.
Yeah.
And Joel, where I remember when I remember when I saw Joel's first Gunpla that I saw him do an SD Gunpla, and it was all dry brushed, and I was like, holy shit, finally, it's like somebody figured this shit out. Like, and that was one of the first times I reached out to him. Actually, Joel, your experience with dry brushing, has anybody ever told you dry brushing sucks?
Yeah, all the time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought we were past that now.
No, we're still getting it.
Fuck.
Look, Phil, here's the problem. Here's the problem. People were dicks, are dicks, and will always be dicks. Orc dicks for the rest of our lives. Nobody actually cares. People who are, you know, snobs.
Entire YouTube channels.
Care, right? It's not a real thing.
There are entire YouTube channels of dudes using dry brushing to make better shit than the average fucking competition grade painter.
Yes, I dry brush on every contest winning gunpla I build.
Nice.
There is at least
I
dry brush the inner frame. I dry brush all this kind of details. Like dry brushing, it exists.
It's your
I'm curious, Joel, about like you are a, you know, this is your style. Like your style is like these weathered looking dry brushed. You know, it's the best technique to achieve that style.
Yeah,
people still tell you that you can't be doing it. Like what?
Yeah, dude. I like when I first started doing it, like everyone else, I was bad at it, and I would do it on unpainted plastic, and I learned very fast that it just doesn't look good. But
too glossy.
I've had the wild thing is I've had people that solely just do airbrushing on Gundams be like, oh, that doesn't look good because it's overpainted.
Oh my fucking God.
And then it's like, well, that's
you
that's
haven't
not
heard this before.
A thing.
Oh, it is, but you know,
well, I mean, like in their head, they think it's
you remember
thing.
Earlier on when we talked about there's the people that are really, really good that aren't fucking with anybody, and then there's the people that are almost really good that are fucking with everybody. That's a gatekeeper. Anyway,
yeah.
Go on, Joel.
Well, I mean, that's what it is, and that's like why I decided to adopt that as like my like style for everything, because like
I
one
love it
because fuck them. That's why.
Fuck
one,
yeah, fuck
I mean that's
them.
What I normally do. If someone's like, oh, that's fine, but that's easy, I'm like, all right, bet. Watch me make this easy thing look hard now.
Yep. Yeah, watch me develop this into a fucking technique, which it always was. If everybody hadn't fucking shouted it down.
Still is.
Well, good on you, Joel. Good on you.
I mean, it's like pre-shading and shit.
Yeah.
It's like people say it's an easy out.
Fuck
off. But it's not.
That's why
like,
I bought an airbrush. I bought an airbrush specifically to be able to do that, because you can't really get that look by dry brushing and shading and layering. Like you can, but it takes years, or you could do 5 minutes with a fucking airbrush. And that was amazing.
There's a way to do it right.
And there's a way to do it right. That's crazy that as soon as I got an airbrush and finally got Appreciate on that we were talking about on the Epiphany episode, what we didn't talk about on the Epiphany episode was that the next fucking day after I finally learned how to do this thing that I got this tool to do, I had some fucking asshole on an internet forum telling me their shading is really kind of 90s, man. We don't really do that anymore. I'm just like, fuck you.
It's dumb, dude. And that's honestly, that's why I got super into like toy painting and stuff, because they're using a lot of this like techniques. And like, I mean, yeah, sometimes it's blasphemous because it's, we always said, you know, joking, like, don't appreciate it black. But like, I'm doing a Showa era Mecha Godzilla, I'm going to appreciate with black because that's what they did.
Yeah.
The suit was appreciated with black.
Is it right?
The suit was appreciated with black. Like, look at the source material. And the thing is, if you're painting a sci-fi kit, appreciated with black might be exactly what you want to give it that. You know, 80s to 90s look that you're going for.
The way you want it to look, then that's the right thing.
Ultimately, all of this shit just comes down to like, do what you think looks good.
Yeah, there's no right technique. There's no right method. There's no, oh, this is good and this is bad. Because guess what? Fucking artists, Opus, they made a whole fucking company around just like, I mean, their other brushes are tight, they're fine, they're whatever, but like, they're dry brushing shit. I haven't really bust into mine, that's but really like seeing what they other dudes doing their shit, it makes it look like an insanely well, like even sometimes airbrushed kit. But
that's what you need.
A lot of the stigma between that shit is just dudes that don't want to do this shit themselves. So they rather sit there and be like, well, that's not a real technique. Blah, blah, blah. Like, all right, dude, then you do it. And yeah, you do it better than me. Like, break it down.
Because the dude that started that company, it's a couple of guys, but the main face guy of this outfit he's a competition painter that has always dry brushed. He never stopped. No matter how much people talked shit, he refined that process. And that's the important fucking thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything, no matter how simple the technique is, no matter how complex it is, whatever it is, it can always be pushed farther. It can always be developed. It can always be made better. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like, what that guy did making. While everybody else was too afraid to do it because they were going to get made fun of on the internet. This motherfucker said, fuck you. Kept doing it. Got better at it. Started faking people out into thinking that the gradients he was getting with his materials were not that style because it could never look like that. And he did it. And then Joel, their brushes started to talk about what makes the fancy brushes better. Or why'd you buy them? Because they're fucking expensive.
I
want to
hear about the printmaking example.
Oh, printmaking. At least with like screen printing. I mean, direct to garment was made because people don't want to learn that task.
Oh right. Yeah,
it's not like dry brushing is nowhere the equivalent of of DTG, but like it's that equivalent of the people that want to sit there and be like, well, that's a dumb technique. I'm going to do the easy way, or I'm going to do this way and do it. And, or not even the easy way. They're just
it's backwards.
I hear it both ways.
It's backwards.
It's where dipping comes from. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in mini painting, you can't dry brush because you can't be a competition painter if you're not layering and wet blending and feathering. If you're not making it harder, we don't care.
Well,
that's obviously stupid.
Why can't it be easy?
That's obviously stupid. But again, this dude, while everybody else, guys like me, I never stopped, but I started trying to find ways to be a lot more subtle about it. And that guy said, fuck it, I'm going to just do that, you know? And that's the difference, is that he kept pushing it forward, and guys like me that didn't want to get made fun of fucking knocked it off. We didn't push. And so the style stagnated, but he did something special.
Dude, his shit, like I've been watching a lot of the videos because like I really want to understand how I really want to understand how he is using his product, because I always find that the best way to learn something is listen to the person that fucking like makes it and has the passion for it.
Yep.
Because And he'll do a whole fucking video that'll take him like an hour. And he'll paint some shit that I'd be like, bro, I would be flipping out if I fucking did that in under an hour.
But that's, you can. You absolutely can. Well, yeah,
and that's the thing is you can.
There's nothing to it. And it looks beautiful.
I've definitely like learned a lot from, and I, again, like I haven't fucking even used the brushes that I bought from him. I'm so glad you
turned me on to that for real.
Look, if you're painting something in under an hour, though, that's tabletop quality, right?
It's, yeah, that's high TT, baby.
Yeah, right? Apparently.
I mean, seriously, like the quality on that, if you look at that, dude, I feel terrible that I'm blanking on his name. There's him. There's Bohun dude. That guy, same thing. He'll just sit there with like a, but that's the thing. They're not just doing like the scrub dry brushing that I learned how to do. And I don't mean,
stippling. They're stippling. They're building right. up
textures. They're creating more textures for the dry brush. He does this cool shit.
In a sense, like the stippling and shit he does, he even gets into some of them where he's like wet blending stippling.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's cool,
man.
He's using a combination of what I would have considered overbrushing with creating more texture in the drying paint to get more texture to catch. It's so cool.
In the Star Wars Stap, and then the Necron ship, the first couple of steps, like anyone can do it. You're just piling on fucking paint.
Yeah.
And then you're also, what you're doing is like, while you're piling it on, you're learning how to stipple, and then you're learning how to change that stipple into a dry brush and building those layers up. Yeah. And I think the biggest thing, though, is what people forget is like when it seems like when something's more complicated, people feel more nose up, snooty about it because they don't know how to
bullshit.
Do it.
It's gatekeeping bullshit. Now,
well, I tried this hard to do this, so you should have to, you know.
The fancy stuff starts out as being really eye-catching and very different. And that's what sets it apart. It's like we've talked about before, where like this dude, this lady, they came out with this technique that nobody else has done yet. Holy shit. There's the bar.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But when they don't, push and keep up with the other stuff, then that falls apart. And that's the biggest failing in miniature painting is that that constant progression forward among all the other hobby art styles, I think miniature painting is unique, that the quality level of it has shot up so fast and continues to, like, every day it gets better and fancier and crazier. And you can either try to stay on top of these newest developments, or you can go back and refine stuff that we've already done, because boy, they just leave it behind. Like, if you're not doing the hot shit, then don't show up to Crystal Brush, you know?
Yeah.
The crazy thing I saw recently was the change of tone about contrast paints and shit.
Yeah, right?
See, that's really interesting to see, yeah.
Because, like, I've kind of realized my workflow is I'll paint something, I'll do, like, a zenithal or whatever, just so I can see the details.
Uh-huh.
But also I'll go ahead and use the contrast paints as my base color and then go back and dry brush over it to kind of like even it out. Which, if I'm doing like a Cad Bane,
the entirety of Cool Mini or Not just like had a fucking prolapse over the sentence you just spoke. And I fucking love it.
I'm sure, because like the spending like hours doing a little trying to paint the little fold on this like leather jacket
with six different layers,
jacket in 5 minutes flat.
Half of them can't even fucking do it. That's the thing. Half of them can't even do the shit they're insisting that you do. They did it one time, and then you just did it four times just now.
And it works, right? Like you end up with the end goal, the end result that you want. But this all comes back to the same point that we've made, you know, over and over in both The Cutting Mat and Premonition of Paint, which is that the end result speaks for itself.
It does.
You know, who the fuck cares how somebody accomplished a goal? Like if you're building up layers of dry brushing to the point where it looks like a work of art, it is a work of art.
It is.
You know, and it doesn't matter what kind of technique you use to accomplish your goal.
People asked me if the fucking cell or whatever color scheme Gundam SD thing that people want to make up did.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I actually like revived it. It's actually sitting in an oil drying cell right now.
Nice.
But I had people ask, like, some people were like, oh, did you airbrush? I was like, fuck no. It was all dry brush. And like, one person I talked to, they're kind of disappointed. Like, they sounded like they were disappointed by it. I was like, what do you mean? I was like, it's dry brush, dude. It's all hand, no airbrush.
You can't accomplish that. You can.
Because it's very easy.
Time for that?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, you could definitely do directional sprays to where or axle is like edge highlighting, but why wouldn't you just go whoop, done. Okay, next thing.
There are different ways to use different tools to get different effects. And I've caught edges with airbrushing before, and airbrush is a really versatile tool. You can do all kinds of cool shit.
But you shouldn't be disappointed because one person uses a tool versus the tool that you use.
But can
use?
I tell
They're
you something?
Fucking tools.
Can I tell you something I'm ashamed to admit?
Sure, that's why we're here.
Here we go. We're doing confession time. When you told me about Artis Opus, the reason that I looked at him was because I was actually interested in their longer taper pointed brushes, because some of the fancy pants painters that I've been following on Patreon and trying to learn all their super cool tricks, which are amazing.
Yeah, they all use them.
They all use those because they keep really, really nice points, and that's kind of the new hotness, is doing like surface textures to get your different stuff. Anyway. The point is that, I realized after I got to that website that like two videos on their YouTube were about the brushes I wanted to look at. And the other 100 of them were all some fucking dude with some dry brushes. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And like, even me, the person that just said, never stop doing that. Always push forward. Keep doing it. I used it the whole time. The person that says dry brush stuff. I saw this dude marketing dry brushes for $80 a fucking set.
Whoa.
And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me right now, guy?
Well, yeah, but I like, make my own with scissors. Like, what?
But I watched the videos and I saw what he was doing, and I looked at the brushes that he was using and how they'd taken time to design these things, and it was smart, and like all the stuff that went into the technique that they were developing.
Like what Brandon just snap said, reactionary to the price point on it.
Yep.
That I is did exactly the same thing.
I have the same feeling about every tool.
Dude,
yeah.
because that's the thing. For the last 30 fucking years, dry brushes, that's code for the brush that you fucked up. You save your worst brushes for dry brushing because dry brushing ruins brushes. That's
the care
the
process
thing.
For these things are insane. That's
and
why
it's
I'm
awesome.
Like a little,
I bet.
I'm a little like, I'm not intimidated to
Don't
use
be.
Them.
I'm
intimidated to fucking like, I want to make sure I completely understand the care process for them before I get into them.
They give you a nice instruction booklet and
they do,
the
they do, but I'm a visual person. Okay. I'm a visual person. That whole paragraph is just Egyptian to me.
There is a nice video on the cleaning process that's actually a really nice video.
They just added that because, the only video they had was on the Star Wars Stat one. And they had a bunch of people being like, hey,
wait, what?
They never really had a video that was like, here's how you clean and maintain your brushes.
Cleaning.
They
like, I watched like 80 videos of dry brushing.
The only videos they had was the Star Wars Stap one where he kind of went into a little bit. He never touched on it.
Okay.
A bunch of people emailed them, were like, hey, we know it has the instructions in it. Can you just like on video show us this?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
because
smart.
We need a visual reference because
that makes a big
the
difference,
instructions as well as they're written, it does not show me what they're talking about.
I need when and we're done, will you take a picture of those instructions and send them to me? I'm actually kind of curious as to how they
it's read. On their site.
Oh,
yeah,
it is.
It's
okay.
On their site. Yeah,
I'm going there later.
But the video, like, I mean, because it's also a different, like, we talked about learning styles and all that weird shit, but like stuff like that, I need to see it. You can put it into the best written paragraph in the fucking world. I don't give a shit. I need you to show me, dog.
That's why I had so much trouble with the instructions from the Citadel ink kits. I had so much trouble just looking at it. There was one picture per step.
One
which was
per
nice.
Step,
I'm glad
and
they included a picture.
The fifth step, which was paint the fucking
But even
owl.
With the picture, you know, it was not that much information.
It wasn't.
Like, not nearly enough to follow step by step.
It was
a video
was
so
was
much
just
better
enough.
For these kind of things.
Well,
you can show everything, you know, everything from like dilute the ink 1:1 to, you know, but it's the equivalent for expensive dry brushes is, I guess I don't know how to dry brush. Like this makes me question like everything.
Go watch the videos.
Have you watched any of these?
No, of course not.
I want to watch one with you after we're done. It's crazy.
No, I'm not going to do that because I have my own method of dry brushing and I don't care. I am happy with how I dry brush.
Are you guys happy with how you dry brush? No, no.
I wasn't until because I watched the videos.
I'm already happy with how I do it.
No, no. Listen, I seriously never stopped dry brushing. I have dry brushed exactly the same way as I learned on that first day with that fucking ink set pamphlet. With the model that I'm painting as we speak right now in the pictures, teaching me how to do it. And I've trashed a million brushes doing it and they worked and it was fine. And I was happy with it. As soon as I looked at that dude's stuff, I was like, wait a minute. I recognize the shape of these brushes and I'm real late to this fucking party. But apparently everybody's been hip to this for a while that using contour brushes for makeup makes much softer brushes. Yeah, nobody told me about this shit. I'm old.
Yeah. Oh, really?
I've been
all over the internet. Phil.
I've been. Yeah, I know. Hey, it's funny. I don't actually learn from watching videos. Yeah. Anyway, I've had a contour makeup brush in my paint cup forever. I use it for dusting off parts before I paint.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And as soon as I grabbed that thing and started dry brushing some shit, as soon as I watched that Artist Opus video, I was like, I'm gonna try this shit. I did it. I was like, oh my god. It changed everything. So
I really want to try his brushes now though,
because these aren't the same. But
yeah, they're not. Because like that was my thing. I was like, I thought maybe it was like the whole fucking like glass nail file fad that's going on right now.
I hate that.
I mean, you can tell just from looking at them, they are structurally different. They're made to very specific sizes. They're not telling anybody what the hair is.
You should definitely watch it. I understand like where you're coming from with what you.
I want to watch.
It's not
going to
change your dry brushing technique. It's a different technique altogether. It's like, cause like when I dry brush other things, I'm still using the old method that I did before, but if I'm going to like full ass dry brush, like a mecha thing, I'm going to start with stippling on the darker colors and dry brushing up to the lighter ones. But if I'm just dry brushing some metal details, I'm just going to use the old method.
Exactly.
And that's another one. That's another thing that it was always perfect. Like I know that everybody likes to, or all the tutorial painters are always layering their metallics or whatever. Layering metallics is dumb.
Dry brush the metallic, it looks so much better.
It looks like fucking metal.
I agree 100%.
If you want to go back and kind of, you know, bulk up a little bit with a little bit of layer at the end for some fancy, that's cool. But like doing that the entire time is madness.
I just do, I'll stipple like a darker silver or dark iron or whatever the fancy name is, and then just dry brush the silver on top to call it a day.
Shit. Yep.
That's it.
That's it. Like there's no more. That
was the thing, because dry brushing was the first thing I learned that looked cool to me, that I did in the beginning. I pushed it farther than the guide told me to. It was like, you paint it black, or you paint this whole thing. Chainmail was the color back then. The colors were different. You paint the whole surface of this armor chainmail, then you wash it black, right? Then you dry brush it brighter silver, and that's it. You're done.
Yeah, right. It doesn't need to be. And then I
was
like,
silver was like mithril silver.
Yeah,
like
mithril. That was the one. And then, but I didn't have the Citadel colors because those were really fucking expensive. So I like the inks. I had the inks before I had Citadel paints. Anyway, I had Apple Barrel paints from Walmart. That was what I painted with those for like 15 years while I was learning. It was crazy. I had like six different silvers in that. I was like, what if I just keep going? And I did.
What if I never stop dry brushing progressively lighter silvers?
I dreamed the impossible dream, and eventually it doesn't look chalky anymore. Uh-huh. You just keep going. Eventually the scatter becomes so fine that it's the new uniform.
Well, assuming an infinitely, small differential slice of a silver color, you could theoretically integrate from zero to the lightest silver in the world and get absolutely no border. Yeah,
I will say the one thing I do want to try, and they do look pretty tight, is like when people do like the like high fantasy gold, or it's like reds, and then like they layer up to crazy like pale gold. Like,
red
that
to gold
cool.
is that's really cool.
That's just tight.
You can go from blue up to silvers as well to get a really good silver there.
I wash armor with all my metals, even engine parts. It's a combination of blue and black ink together. I just mix it together. It looks great. I wash grimy engines with like brown and black ink together. It's just you never have to just use one thing. If you see a color in a thing in your reference, put the color in the thing. Just do it. It's going to look great. But it's tight. That's a whole other thing. But the it plays in, and you were right to mention it. There's so much cool shit there, and I loved watching Joel do that stuff when I first came in, because I was just like, oh, he's just learning, he's dry brushing, that's cool. You know, I was like, I was excited that he was doing it. No, I did. Like I said, I realized this when I proposed this topic. I was just like, you know, we should talk about this because I watched these videos that Joel sent me and we should talk about this. But I started examining my own attitudes about it. And I was like, I have been a fucking dick and I didn't even know I was doing it. I thought I was being the good guy that was like, nah, just keep doing it. It's going to be great. You know?
Well, it turns out that was literally correct. Keep doing it and you'll get better at it. Isn't that weird how that happens?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But, you know, Joel and I went to RDUcon like back in 2016 or 2017 or something.
That's where we first met.
It was. Yep. But maybe like right before that at like the Gundam Club. But your dry brush Zaku placed at RDUcon.
Yeah.
In the mecha category.
Good.
So here we are, more evidence that it doesn't matter what technique you use, just use something that gets the result that you want.
Yeah. Just, you know, make it look all that good. Matters. Make it something you're proud of. Just keep pushing it until it looks rad.
Cause like that's a big thing too, is like people are so concerned what other people think about their shit. If you look at it and be like, yo, this looks tight, you're done.
Yeah. That's all that matters.
Stop.
I've even caught myself.
Put it down.
I'm 100% the guy that will scream at people for second guessing themselves and their artistic decisions. I will literally berate someone for not following their own gut. Right.
Yeah.
I caught myself yesterday and I got mad at myself for this. I got up to a certain point on this model I was working on. And I was like, I should check somewhere. I stopped painting a model that I was almost finished painting and fucked around on YouTube for 20 minutes to make sure I was finishing it the right way.
The right way?
I was like, fuck this.
What do you mean by the right way?
Yeah, exactly. And I got mad at myself
What is that?
I got mad at myself for even thinking that. I was just like, oh, this is really nice. I'm almost onto something where I could really be proud of this. I need someone else's thumbs up on how to proceed.
You mentioned recently the YouTube tutorial culture has really started taking over.
And we
sort of expect that there is a right way for everything. There's not a right way for you to do your own hobby.
I literally spend all day telling people not to think that way, and I did
the right way. The right way is the way that you have fun. That's really all that matters.
Yeah, hobbies are supposed to be fun. That's the only right way, dude. There's no authorities in hobbies, dude.
No gods, no masters.
Yeah.
If someone tries to tell you that your work is tabletop quality, just tell them, you know, thanks. Your work is bathroom floor quality. Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
None of this makes any sense.
Fuck yeah.
These are kitchen countertop.
You're almost top of TV quality.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the top of the TV there.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Patreon that we don't have, that is our first T-shirt. We are we're doing the bathroom floor quality premonition.
Wait,
of
we do
t-shirt.
Have a Patreon. What are you talking about?
Well,
we do.
So we have a Patreon for the Cutting Mat Podcast, and if you join the Cutting Mat Podcast Patreon, you will get some stickers every month. Depending on which tier you choose, you might get some prints and potentially a T-shirt. But you will get access to a Discord, which will allow you to communicate with me. I'm Mecha Genre. I go by Mecha Genre over the internet. This guy Joel. Who's over
here? Yeah, I go online by True Gunfa, boy.
And there's this third guy who we've been calling Phil, I believe.
Yeah,
his
real name.
I did. I go by different things in different places these days. For the most part, on the Instagram, I can be found as Scrap Code. That's scrap.code. And on most other things, I'm still Phil Build Stuff because I am, in fact, still building stuff. So. That's where I am.
Hell yeah.
It's
but
accurate,
the next the heads up is that the next shirt that we're doing for the Cutting Mat is going to be a Premonition of Paint shirt.
Fuck yeah. There you go. Fuck yeah. We get
so
a t-shirt.
This is a side podcast of that primary podcast. So if you enjoyed what you just heard, please listen to the Cutting Mat Podcast everywhere that podcasts are listened to.
Which is a lot of places, dude. Apparently.
It is honestly everywhere. Honestly, it's like on the bus, on the subway, like in a library.
At Subway.
at literally at Subway while someone is dry brushing the mayo on your sandwich. Ugh. It's a delicious way to apply.
That is a valid form of dry brushing. Yeah.
I'm on a diet. I can only dry brush condiments on.
That's a fucking
it's my
low,
condiment dry brushing diet.
Low TT.
That's like a personal low hell. TT. Is like oh, you die and you go to hell and then like Satan's like, hey dude, you're a Subway artist, but you have to do all the sandwiches and miniature painting techniques.
You want to actually be a sandwich artist? Yeah, let's see a dry artist. Brush this right.
Dry brush that lettuce, dog.
I keep trying to layer the lettuce on, but I can't find that many colors.
I can't wet blend the tuna.
You can wet blend tuna. Oh, that is one thing you can wet blend.
On that note, thanks for listening to the Premonition of Paint. Y'all have a good day, evening. Don't think about wet blending tuna.
No, you can wet blend salmon too. Honestly, any colored fish you can wet blend. Did you know?
Wet blend and dry brush everything.
You can wet blend. You can wet blend some mammals too, like dolphins. You can wet blend a dolphin.
You can wet blend body fluids.
Seen it.